You're welcome. Hallelujah. Into this holy place. He said, my house shall be called. Let's leave all the dirt at home. Let's leave the fuss of today at home. Let's leave the work of today at home. Wipe your feet and come into a place that he's welcome to come into. He feels comfortable to come into. A mind that's cleared out all this stuff. Hallelujah. Oh, let's go to the word of the Lord real quick. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Amen. Good to see all of you here tonight. Appreciate you coming. And Jesus being full. You ever been full? Full. I'm telling you, I've eaten so much sometimes I'm full. I can't. He was full of the Holy Ghost. Him being full of the Holy Ghost, he returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Full of the Holy Ghost, and he returned from Jordan. And then he was led into the Spirit, of the Spirit, into the wilderness. I want to preach from this little title, No Deposit, No Return. No deposit, no return. Lord, I'm thankful for your word tonight. Hallelujah. Let it be made flesh that we can understand it, live it, and walk it out. Glory to God. We're thankful, Lord, that you sent your son to do just the same as we should do today and give us an example of how we can be overcomers by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can overcome anything by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. No deposit, no return. This was an inscription that has been placed on I will call it soda pop bottles from manufacturers that once made soda pop. And how many of you remember when you used to return the milk jugs? That's right. You used to return the bottles. How many of you don't remember that? Let's see how young you are. Man, some of y'all weren't awake or something. There was a day, okay? There was a day where you would buy a carton of Coca-Colas or a half gallon of milk in a bottle, and you paid for the bottle. And you only paid for it once as long as you returned it in good shape. And then they would, then the next time you say, here's my bottles, and they would say, here's your new Coke, and you only paid for the Coke and not the bottle and the Coke. And you would put the deposit when you first bought the Coca-Cola or the half gallon of milk, you made a deposit in the bottle. And then if you were an entrepreneur like my brother and I was, we went around picking up bottles that were empty and we returned them and got the deposit back. You did that? Yeah. Gas was real cheap. Oh, I'm not alone here tonight. Oh, we got some honest folks here tonight. You know, we would drive around and gas was about 13, 17 cents a gallon. And we'd drive around, oh, stop, I see one. And it was full of mud. We'd shake it out, you know, and put it in the carton. I think the grocer felt sorry for us because they weren't that clean. And sometimes they'd say, we don't sell that anymore. But they would take it anyway and give me a nickel. You remember? That's what it was. It was a nickel for a Coke bottle. I don't remember what it was for the milk jug, but the nickel for the Coke bottle. We rode around all the time hoping to find somebody thrown that out and take that bottle back. And we would get that deposit back without refilling the Coca-Cola. But in subsequent years, manufacturers decided that they had found a cheaper way and perhaps a more sanitary way of not having to wash the bottles and go through all that. They found a cheaper way to make glass, and now, of course, it's plastic. And so they stamped on those bottles so that you wouldn't be confused, all of us that used to return them. It made sure that you weren't going to pull a fast one on them when you went back to the grocery store and mix them with some of those that did. It said no deposit. Mm-mm. You didn't pay a deposit, so don't even try to return something you did not put a deposit on. So that's what I want to preach tonight for a little while. No deposit. No return. And I want you to know that God is not into the disposal business of just using up people and using, they serve their purpose, don't get me wrong. But he's not, he wants you to return to him. He wants to use you again and again and again, and not a one-time thing. Perhaps in the Old Testament, a lot of it was a one-time thing, but not in the New Testament. The God that we serve now wants to use you again and again. Look at Paul. I mean, look at him. He was used again and again and again. He put a lot of deposit in what he did. So God just kept filling him up and filling him up and filling him up. And so God does not want us to lose our deposit. How many of you ever lost a deposit? You rented long enough, the dog tore up something that you put a deposit down, and the landlord says, you lose your deposit. Sometimes you put a deposit down thinking you're going to rent that apartment, and lo and behold, things change, and they said, sorry, you lost your deposit. And I wonder how many deposits have been collected and how many deals have gone south, and whoever you made the deposit with kept the deposit. But I'm here to tell you there are some circumstances in life. I've made too much deposit. I've put too much money. I've put too much effort in this to walk away from it. You might want to think about your situation. Maybe whatever, it's a job. I worked too hard here to just walk away from this, whether it be a marriage or your kids. Or, you know, I've deposited a lot in my kids. They make one mistake, I'm not going to trash them. I'm going to pick them up. Why? I got a lot of deposit in them. I want them to return again and again and be full. So we need to be careful that you need to make deposits in relationships, because if you don't make deposits, it's too easy to walk away from them. See, if there's no deposit, then it's easy to walk away. If you don't have a deposit at that apartment, then you say, I don't feel like paying next month's rent. I'll just, you know, you don't have anything to lose. But when you have to put a 1 month deposit, you start thinking twice before you lose that deposit. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to leave behind my deposit. I have been living for God too long. I worked too hard. I spent too many hours. I've deposited too much in you already. The first day I got here, I started making deposits in this church. I worked too hard just to walk away if somebody don't like me. I'm sorry. They can walk. I got more deposited here than you do, okay? So I'm staying, you leave. Hallelujah. And so I feel like you say the same way. Brother Randy Buller here and Brother Jake, did he do anything before I got here? Not that much. But I know, Brother Randy, you had a lot deposited in here. And you wasn't going to leave just because things weren't going, and maybe people were saying, people doing, whether you like it or don't like it, I'm staying. You had a lot deposited in here. I'm staying. And so you had a reason to hang on, because I have an investment of my life into this situation. Deposit is a security payment that you will return. It's not easy to walk away from. You're less apt to walk away from things if you've had put time, effort, and money and expenses into it. And Jesus was God's deposit on earth. You hear that? Jesus was God's deposit on earth. And God, Jesus, sent back the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which is his deposit in us. I don't want to lose my deposit. My deposit gives me the right to bring back the bottle. My deposit says fill it up again. You've got to make a deposit in something or you will walk away from it. If the Holy Ghost didn't cost something, then somebody fill me in. It wasn't free like they said it was. Somebody paid a price called Jesus. And guess what? M.D. Baggett paid a price too. Yes, it was given to me, but I got a deposit in this thing. And so Jesus was Mary's son, but God anointed him. He deposited his power inside of him so that Jesus of Nazareth, the Bible says, was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power and went about doing good every place he went, healing all that were oppressed of devils. He was God's deposit on earth. I mean, God didn't have, he was up there. You want to talk to God, he had to, poof, he'd visit you, and poof, he was back in glory. But Jesus was his deposit on earth. And God anointed him with his spirit. And that anointing was the filling him up. He was full of the Holy Ghost. So that when people get the Holy Ghost, I'm here to tell you, there's not but one way to get it. You got to be filled with it. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They all got a little bit of the Holy Ghost. No, they were all filled. That when God deposits something, he fills it up. And so I want to look at this passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. We've read it many times, but looking at it from a little bit different angle. The Bible clearly lets us know we're vessels, right? Yeah, we're vessels. And so vessels are supposed to hold something. And they're supposed to be used for something. So let's look at Luke 4 and 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned. That's a message right there. He, you know, you can't return if you're not full of something. He was full of the Spirit. He had been tried over in Jordan. He had just been baptized of John. And John just said, "Behold the Lamb of God, and hear ye him," and all that. He's coming out of this situation full of the Holy Ghost. So here he goes from being full to now he's going. You got to realize he's both man and he's God. He's a man on Mary's side. He is God on the Spirit side. So he's both. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and she conceived. That's the Spirit of God. So his father was a spirit and his mother was flesh. So is there any way to deplete one of the other so that we find God is a man and he's got a spirit? I don't know about you, but I got pretty low a few times. But I kept my deposit. I got pretty low a few times in my walk with Christ, but I never let go of my deposit. That gave me the right to go back for a refill. But if you have no deposit, no return. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. He returned from Jordan, and he's going to go be led into a place of draining. Anybody ever been drained before? Yeah. Usually it's other people draining you. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, the Bible says, in those days he did eat nothing. And when it was ended, afterward he hungered. He was empty. He was hungry. And in a moment of hunger, not as Esau, who sold his birthright and said, if I die, what good is this birthright going to do me? We have now the last man, Adam. The first man, Adam, ate of a fruit when he wasn't hungry. Now we got the last man, Adam, who refuses to listen to the serpent in the garden and refuses to eat of the forbidden fruit, if you will, and says, I'd rather die than eat of that. And not like Esau, who sold his birthright, this man is willing to hold out. He was hungry 40 days. And the devil said unto him, watch this closely, if you be the Son of God. The Son of God is the man side, that's the Mary side. The Spirit side was God. And so if you be the Son of God, why don't you start commanding this stone to be made to bread? And it was in this moment of time, in this moment of weakness, in this moment of hunger, he could have looked at the stone. He'd already said, if you don't cry out to me, speaking to the Jews, I'll have these stones cry out to me. So he had power over the stones. And he could have said to this stone, be made wholesome bread. And it would have been wholesome bread and a little peanut butter and jelly to go with it. He could have done that in his moment of hunger. But listen close, my brothers and sisters. In those moments of being drained, you make eternal decisions. If he would have given in, the Bible would read different. Calvary would be different. It wouldn't even be there. A cross, we wouldn't even hear of Jesus hanging on a cross. In this moment of being drained, he turns the moment into a monument. He turns that moment of weakness. As the man side hungered, the spirit side was full. It was full. And he said, you don't need that. I have power to do that and more. So the spirit side responded and said, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but watch, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He was proclaiming, see, the Satan was saying, if you're the Son of God, do this. And Jesus was saying, I am God. Yeah, you caught that? He was attacking the flesh part and saying, if you be the Son of God, but the spirit would rise up in the weakness of the flesh and say, it's by every word that proceedeth out of God. It takes a whole diet. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of my mouth. He was God. And the devil was trying to take advantage of a man's weakness, and he does the same to you. He wants to turn your moments of weakness into failures. And you know what? They have enormous consequences. You need to be so full of the Holy Ghost that when the man comes under attack, the spirit does the talking. And the man shuts up. And the spirit began to say, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The man wanted the bread. The spirit said, we can make it without it. And this was Jesus, if you will, his defining moment. Every Christian will have a moment. You say, man, I remember when. I remember the day. Who was it that said, give me liberty or give me death, you historians? Patrick Henry. We define him by saying that. What else did he say? Who knows? But he's defined by that. Ponce de Leon is defined for looking for a fountain of youth. DeSoto, didn't he do the Mississippi swim? Him and Lewis and Clark did that. They're all defined by their this moment. And so this was Jesus. See, he was coming out of the water and he was baptized and the Holy Ghost descended on him like a dove. And he was sent into the wilderness for his defining moment. And in these moments, right now, he's going to define who he is. And the devil said, if you be the Son of God, and he said, it's written, I am God. And he's defined, the devil was trying to define him as a man, and he was defining himself as God. Ooh, this is good stuff. Jesus was defining himself in the same moment that the devil was trying to define him. And Jesus said, he defined himself as the Word of God, not just God, but man shall live by every word. He was the Word of God. And the devil taking him then into a high place, a high mountain. Again, these are all moments. Shewed him the kingdoms of the world. Now, see, a man wants to be a king. A man wants to have power. That's that carnal side, right? So he's tempting the flesh side. He's not messing with the spirit, but he's messing with the flesh. And he takes him up into this high mountain. He shows him all the kings of the world. The Bible said, in a moment of time, he's just like, you see all of this? It's mine to whom I give it. All you have to do, if you be the Son of God, just bow down and worship me, and I will give you. It's mine to give. It's all yours. And when the man side would want to say, I've had enough. The spirit side, but I got a deposit in you. I put too much in you. I came from a throne down here to be inside of you. I've deposited my spirit and my anointing in you. We're not giving up that easy. And so the word of the Lord came to Jesus and he said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. Oh, hallelujah. See, he begins to define himself more as God while Satan defines you as a man. He wants to find your weakness, and he'll define you by that. And you know what? We're very critical people. I'm sorry. Oh, that's the one that... Oh, he's... If you just knew. And that's how we define people. Why? Do you want people to define you like that? And he brought him to Jerusalem. Now, this is the city of David, also called the city of God. And he set him in a pinnacle of the temple. Now we've moved down to the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, you know, the angels will take charge in case you won't hurt your toes or bruise get a heel bruise. They'll pick you up before you dash your foot against the stone. But the God in him answered out and said, it is said that thou shalt not tempt See, you're trying to tempt the man side of me, but you can't tempt the God side of me. Thou shalt, God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth he any man, the scripture said. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Every time the flesh could get weak, the mouth of the spirit would speak out. No wonder Paul said, for when I am weak, then am I made strong. The devil tempted Jesus to do three different things. And had he done any of these three things, Brother Williamson, Calvary would be of no effect. No effect. You and I have got to learn what is your defining moment. It does not come when things are... Patrick Henry didn't say, give me life or give me death, while he was sipping tea somewheres and having a party and playing poker. He said that when his life was on the line. Who said this? I regret that I only have one life to give. Nathan Hale. Why was he saying that? Because he was in a defining moment. And somebody here tonight, if not tonight, tomorrow, or sometime, you're going to be there if you haven't already. You've got to define to yourself who you are. This was Jesus' proving time that the Spirit had more control than the flesh. And he being full of the Holy Ghost. Some people are full of themselves. And so being full of the Holy Ghost, he returns from Jordan. He was empty, he was hungry, but he wasn't going to lose his deposit. Verse 13, and when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season, not forever. I'm here to tell you, he's coming back. He's coming back. But God does give you a time to be restored. The Bible says that the angels came and restored him and ministered unto him. He won't allow you to be tempted above all what you can bear without a way of escape. And Jesus returned. Now see, this is good because I started the first verse and I told you that Jesus came unto Jordan. He said, and Jesus being fully Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Now we have all the temptations that's happened and read verse 14. And Jesus returned. He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues. He went back to that same type of temple, the high pinnacle, if you will. And from there, he began to minister and be glorified of all. Jesus was being tempted, but he would not lose his deposit. He returned in the power of his might. Hallelujah. These moments of hunger and weakness and emptiness that we all go through, moments of loneliness does terrible things to people. Loneliness does terrible things to people. They do terrible things. But that's when you're defined as to who you are. What is your relationship with God is in those times. So this passage of Scripture is this turning point of Christ's memory. And from this defining point, he moves into the temple and he begins to declare the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Luke chapter 4, same chapter. And he hath anointed me to preach and to heal and to recover. He's anointed me to do his work and to carry out his plan. This, he had to pass this test, Brother Petrie, to get to this point. And these climatic moments of pressure and temptation facilitate a decision that determines the direction for the rest of your life. Did you understand that? These moments of pressure and these moments of temptation.